Good afternoon, it's 3:30 on the button. This is the After School Book Club, show number 21 overall. This is our 146th live radio show. Wow, you'd think we'd be good at this by now. It's Wednesday the 16th of June, and this is The Snaffle. A very good afternoon to you, book clubbers. Good to have your company this week. Thank you so much indeed for joining us. Maria Wojciechowska-Kanida is with me, Russell Prue, and we are hosting for you this afternoon. We'd love to hear from you. Here are our contact details.
Contact the show now. Text us on 078 600 26 400. Email learnradiolive@gmail.com or tweet us at learnradiolive.
And here we are. We are on glorious Technicolor video this afternoon. Hello, we are waving. We are absolutely live. It's 28 minutes to 4. It's really good to have your company. Text, emails, everything is up and running, folks. We'd love to hear from you. We have a show page for you. If you are listening off our site, just go to a device, find the show page, learnradio.net/Docherty, D-O-C-H-E-R-T-Y. Docherty is where you need, and all will become clear in our show as to why that is our special word for this week. Maria, how's your week been?
It's been fabulous. Today's Wednesday. It's so hot outside in the studio. It's about 26 degrees. I've had to close all the windows, so it's a bit hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, but that's not for long. It's just lovely to be here again.
I've opened the windows. Honestly, a bird could fly in now like you can't believe. It is a roasty poos here. 29. I can actually top that slightly. 29. Wow. I think this is the hottest so far this year, which is just glorious. The outlook for the week, folks, is not good, I have to say. It's going to be a bit of rainy across the whole of the UK this evening. So it's your last chance to enjoy our fabulous show before you have to snuggle down as well. This is our After School Book Club show number 21. Thank you so much indeed for joining us. And we've got a dynamic duo for you this afternoon. We've got the illustrator and the author. This is great. We love it when they both come on. But this is fun because they are both Mr. and Mrs. Docherty. Do you get that now? You see where the name went from? This is amazing. And we are thrilled, and we'll bring them out of the green room in just a moment. They're just having some light refreshments in there, and they'll be joining us live on the show, and you can see and hear them. And Thomas has promised us a draw along today, live draw along. We love that, and we are just so thrilled to have them as well. Folks, you'll find all of the Padlets, all of the educational links and the resources, because Helen's got some great stuff on her website. All of those links are on that page, included a buy link is there, and we go to cover to books, and that is on there as well. You can find all of that as well. If you want to follow them on Twitter, colleagues, then Helen is at Docherty_Helen, and Thomas is TD Illustration. That's TD Illustration. If you want to follow him on there as well, they're well worth a follow, and they really do know their stuff. Well, this week's title is The Screen Thief, published by Alison Green Books on the 3rd of June. So we're only just coming to it after its publication. And we loved this, didn't we, Maria? Absolutely loved it.
It was fabulous. I love the drawings. I love the illustrations, the little kind of details when you look inside. You know, they're fabulous. And the story is just brilliant. I love the name, The Snaffle. You know, we say that in our house when the biscuits have gone, you know. Who snaffled the biscuit? So I'm so excited that we've got both of them on the show today.
And there's plenty of snaffling going on. We have lots of questions for them, and you've been in touch all week with your questions. Thank you so much indeed. We will get to all of them. Absolutely guaranteed. This show is like a pair of Marks and Spencer's trousers. It's elasticated. It will expand to accommodate your questions, folks, so don't worry about that at all. It's a gloriously complex and intricate drawings. We love them. You just fall in love with them as well. It's a lovely story from Helen as well. Well, it's time to get these two fabulous folks out of the cupboard and let's bring them onto the studio. That's Helen first and joined by Thomas as well. Hello. We've got some applause.
Hello there.
Here we go. We've got some applause. Oh, we could not. Thank you so much indeed for joining. It's rare to have both the illustrator and the author on as well. And thank you so much indeed. How's your week been, both of you?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been sunny. We went for a swim at the weekend. We're very lucky. We live in Swansea, just by the Gower Peninsula. Don't want to make you too jealous, Russell and Maria, but we did actually go for a lovely swim in the sea on Sunday. But of course, since then, we've been working very hard. So no more swims for us.
No, absolutely not.
Maybe we should say that we're broadcasting to you from different rooms in the same house.
Yeah.
We actually do live together, as well as write and illustrate.
Oh, yes, because that's not implicit at this stage, is there? Because the lighting's slightly different in the rooms and you could be the estranged. I wouldn't have done that at all. It's a marvellous combination. And I haven't got any questions, but I can suddenly think of some immediately that spring to mind as well. We're really, really exciting. Maria's got our first opening remarks there.
Thank you very much. And it is lovely to have you both on the show. It's our first time in 146 shows. That's how long we've been running for. 146 shows that we have a husband and wife team on the show who's worked on the same book. And it's a huge first for us. So we're very thrilled, Russell, aren't we?
We are absolutely thrilled. And certainly, folks, you're going to enjoy this so much. We just can't wait at all. We are absolutely live and it is 24 minutes to four. We're live until 4:30 as well. So plenty of time to get your questions in. Everything is on the show page, learnradio.net/Doherty, or you can go to our show page, learnradio.net, and click on next live show, or you can click on the book club and find them as well. Now, if any of the padlets, they're easy peasy to use. They have got those little post-it notes, so you'll actually see some of the writing on there. I'm looking at the screen already. Lots of post-its up there already. Just click on that pink circle with a plus key on there, put your first name in the top box and your question underneath, then click on the background. And Maria and I will approve that and get those questions to our lovely guests today. Maria, you've got our first question.
Thank you very much, Russell. So Helen, our first question is for you. What's inspired you to write the book?
Wow. Well, so the book is called The Screen Thief, as you already know. First thing to say is that I wrote this before the whole pandemic started. So even though it's about screens, and obviously screens have become so important to us over the last year, I wrote this before I knew anything of what was going to happen. Wow. But I was really aware of the role, the growing role that screens play in all our lives. Mm-hmm. A role that is largely very, very positive because screens, as you know, bring us together. However, they also, you know, sometimes they can distract us from being in the moment and from playing with our friends, being with our family. So I wrote the story imagining a creature that becomes so obsessed with technology that she actually starts to consume it. So in the same way that we consume technology, I imagine a creature that literally consumed it by eating it. And this creature would grow bigger and bigger. This was my first plan, until she became almost quite a monster of technology. And then I had a little think and I thought, oh, actually, that might be a bit scary for a picture book. So how about she's just a creature who maybe her belly swells a little bit, but she doesn't actually grow in size. She just consumes all this technology. She eats all the screens, but ultimately they don't really satisfy her. They don't really fill her up because what she's really looking for is someone to play with. And I think that's the heart of the story, that what all kids really want more than anything, what they crave is someone to play with. They want somebody's attention. They want interaction. They want fun in the moment with somebody else. And that's what the story's all about, really, and how she finds that, not just her, but how everybody else rediscovers the joy of playing together as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Helen. That was really helpful because it is true. You know, we are looking for connections all the time, Russell, aren't we? We're looking to have that connection, but being in the moment. And the creature Snapple is just gorgeous, gorgeous, Russell.
Oh, it speaks to so many parts of me as well. Now, this is a question for both of you. And I want to know, what type of creature is the Snapple? Is she an amalgamation, easy for me to say, of some known creatures? And who decided how she looked? Thomas, if I could come to you first, then Helen.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. If you read very carefully through the book, there's actually only one clue to what the Snaffle should look like in the text. And well, maybe two. It says she's small and she's blue. So that's it. That's all I had to go on. And as an illustrator, you have to respect what's in the text. But then it gave me an awful lot of freedom to come up with what the Snaffle might look like, apart from being small and blue. And we went through loads and loads and loads of different ideas. And I do a lot of sketching to come up with lots of different ideas and discuss them with the art director at the publishers and with Helen. And in the end, we sort of put together, well, I mean, we should ask the readers, has anyone here ever seen a Snaffle before?
That's a very good question. We'll put that to their folks here. Get on the onto the pamphlet there. The kind of thing.
Have you heard of one?
Have you ever heard of one? Because if you've never heard of an animal, then, you know, you've got to make it up. And we sort of came at the Snaffle from lots of different angles, as you can probably see by looking at the pictures.
The fact that she steals things, and also there's a line in the text that says she sniffed it. So when she first finds this phone, she sniffs it.
Yes.
And that maybe gave us a bit of a clue as well, didn't it, Tom?
It did, because you'll notice that she's got quite a long, she's got a long nose, she's got a trunk like an elephant, and she uses that to sniff out the screens and sort of almost to taste them as well. So that suggested that part of her body and her nose, and she had to be very expressive.
Yeah.
So, and she didn't, she's called a monster by the other characters in the book, but she's really a monster in their mind. When they actually meet her, they realise that she's not a monster at all. She's very small. She's actually quite cute. Yeah. So it was important that she had these characteristics, that she could be mischievous, but that she wasn't scary. And in fact, she looked very friendly. She also has to go through lots of different emotions in the book.
Yes.
She's excited when she arrives and nervous and curious. Later on, she gets quite down and quite sad. She's a bit manic at some point where she's running around eating everything. And the ears really help with that, because the ears, they can like stick right up or flop over. You can really use them to get emotion into the body language of the creature. So they were really helpful.
I think the main thing was that she had to be something new. She had to look really different from all of the other creatures in the book, because even though it's a city and it refers to people in the text, in fact, as you'll see as I read the story later and you see Tom's wonderful illustrations, all the other characters are in fact animals, but they're all animals that we can recognise and name. So whether it be a cat or a penguin or a crocodile or a tiger or a lion, they're all animals that we know and recognise. The Snaffle is the one that stands out because she is completely new. She's different.
No, I love the nose as well. I can just some great noises coming by. It's just, and it's beautiful. It's just very endearing as well. Maria, you've got another question there.
Thank you very much. I was just looking at the book then. It's just wonderful. I didn't notice the ears, but I can see in one of the pages where the ears are down, Thomas. You know, is, and that does, that shows a little bit, you know, that Snaffle is sad. Ironically, sat on a box with a smiley face. So I thought,
it's a box with a smiley phone face on it.
It's
a subtle reminder of all the things she's eaten.
Yeah, you see, we think that all these new devices, these new things are going to bring us a lot of happiness, but not necessarily. Mm. They're still the same things inside. Now, Helen and Thomas, we would like to know, is the city that the Snaffle is visiting, does the city have a name, or is this an imaginative place?
Oh, that's a lovely question.
It's a wonderful question. The city doesn't have a name. The city is actually a mixture of lots of different cities that we've been to. Or that we've seen perhaps, and maybe that other people have seen as well. We wanted the city to have a sort of international feel, so that people from different countries reading the story might recognise perhaps elements of their own city or other cities that they visited in this city.
I had so much fun like piecing the city together from like memories or experiences I've had in different places. Helen and I met in Bristol in England. I've lived abroad in Madrid and travelled. We both travelled a lot in Europe. So, and there are lots of things that are very similar in cities. You know, things like level crossings and traffic lights and the traffic and it's just creating all the buildings. And then especially some of the special scenes like the cinema, which you'll see when we read the story. And Oh, even things like the old television shop, which reminded me of the television shop that we used to go to when I was little.
Yes, I remember.
And
there's a
cactus shop as well, which actually modelled on a real cactus shop that we saw. Was it in, I think it was in Stockholm, wasn't it?
It was. Helen's brother lives in Sweden, and we were visiting him, and we were walking through the capital city, Stockholm, and we walked past this amazing cactus shop.
Wow.
And that was one of those sort of moments where I just, you know, tucked it up in my head. I don't think we even took a photograph. I just remembered it very clearly. And then when I came to filling the city up with shops and architecture, I just thought I needed a shop, and I thought a cactus shop. Perfect.
So this shop just sold cacti, is that right?
It sold plants, but most of the things in the window were these really impressive, really large, really exotic cactus.
Oh, I hope the prices weren't too spiky.
Hold on, we've got a sound effect for that. Yes, I've waited all week for that, Maria. Thank you so much indeed.
You're welcome. That, and it's so important that you're talking about different countries, because I've spotted behind you, Helen, that you've got some books.
Yeah.
They're the same book, but with different languages. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So The Screen Thief has already been translated into a few other languages. There are more to come, but the first four books from other countries in other languages that we've received so far Hechamdifje. I hope I've said that right. If there's anyone Dutch listening, so this is the Dutch version. And then we've got Il ladro di schermi, which is the Italian version. I'm not sure how to pronounce the Finnish one. I think it might be Rutosyöpö or something like that. This is the Greek version. I'm afraid I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that, but I just love the Greek alphabet there. So very exciting. But we've got Chinese and Thai versions on the way, and we've got Spanish.
Yay.
And Catalan versions as well, which I'm really excited about, because Tom and I both speak Spanish, so very excited. And hopefully there'll be more as well on the way.
Oh, that sounds wonderfully. Thank you so much. Now, Helen, you've agreed to read to us today.
Yeah.
We're so looking forward to this. Now, listeners, please put your hands together to welcome our author, Helen Doherty, to the stage for this week's reading. Helen Doherty, everyone.
Thank you.
And while Helen reads, just quietly in the background, I'm just going to do a quick sketch of the city. Just
Thank you,
the story.
And if anybody is watching on their screens, you might like to have a look in the pictures as I read. The snaffle is on, I think, every page, but on some of the pages later in the book, she might be hiding behind something. So see if you can spot her as I go through the story. So this is the story of the Screen Thief. The snaffle arrived in the city one day. She wanted to make some new friends and to play. But nobody realised the snaffle was there. The people she saw seemed too busy to care. Everyone seemed to be glued to a screen. The snaffle was puzzled. What could these screens mean? What was so special? What did they hide? Perhaps they had some kind of magic inside. The snaffle felt lonely, all on her own. Then she heard something beeping, somebody's phone. She sniffed it, she bit it, she chewed it once, twice, for something so shiny tasted quite nice. The snaffle looked round her. What else could she eat? Some screens were salty and some screens were sweet. There were screens you could nibble and screens you could munch. Chewy screens, gooey screens, screens that went crunch. The snaffle ate more and her appetite grew. The tiniest phone screens would no longer do. She polished off 20 computers with ease and gobbled up 59 widescreen TVs. Cinemas started to turn folk away. Tonight's film is cancelled, we're sorry to say. We don't know what's happened. It's ever so weird. The seats are all there, but the screens disappeared. Adverts were swiped from the city's main square. People were left staring into thin air. Yet one child, called Max, wasn't nearly so sad. He didn't think life without screams was that bad. But nobody else was prepared to forgive. Without all our screams, how on earth can we live? A small, anxious crowd was beginning to grow. Who could have done this? Does anyone know? I think that I saw her. She's small and she's blue. She's sneaky and dangerous. I saw her too. The snaffle sat down. She needed a break. Her belly was full. It was beginning to ache. Despite all the various screens she had tried, the snaffle still felt kind of empty inside. Then she saw something different. It somehow looked right. A child playing happily, no screen in sight. She thought, he looks friendly. And Max thought the same. 2 seconds later, she joined in his game. Max and the snaffle were laughing so loud, neither one noticed. A large, angry crowd. Look, there's the monster that stole all our screens. We can't let her near any other machines. Stop her! Quick, catch her! No, chase her away! Please don't, Max protested. She just wants to play. Why don't you all join us? It's really good fun. Everyone stared, then joined in, one by one. Things changed in the city that same afternoon. Screens were forgotten, surprisingly soon. Folks chatted to neighbours, they played with their friends and discovered new ways to fill up their weekends. And as for the snaffle, she's never looked back. Though sometimes she snaffles a screen for a snack. And that was the story of the screen thief. I hope everybody enjoyed that.
Loved it. We certainly did.
Loved it. And just as you got to the end, he actually started drawing in Snapple there in blue. That is stunning.
You can just see the Snapple.
There we go. Full screen there. That's stunning.
Wow.
You whipped that up. And of course, as Helen got to the last page, that's part of the last page.
Yeah, that is. It's the first and the last page. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I had so much fun making the city all fit together. And
and I don't know whether you noticed on the first page, Max is on the very first page, and of course the snaffle doesn't know Max yet, and Max doesn't know the snaffle. But they're actually only meters apart on the first page, you see.
Wow.
Yes.
And what you might see as well is that everybody else on the first page is looking at a screen, apart from Max, who's brushing his teeth.
Wow, even the train driver is looking at the screen.
Even the train driver is looking at his screen. We've got even somebody on a scooter down there looking at their phone. Everybody's on the screen. Of course, on the last page, we've got this glorious contrast.
Yes.
It's the evening now, and everybody's out in the square. We've got musicians, we've got people dancing, people playing on their scooters. The train driver is waving to somebody.
Yes.
Everyone's out having fun together. And that's what this book is about, really. It's about a celebration of being outside, being with your friends and your family, having fun together.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. Thank you so much indeed. Folks, we are back with these incredible duo in just a moment. Today's title is The Screen Thief. I hope you enjoyed that. We absolutely loved it here. The artwork and the story just work so well together. Folks, if you'd like to comment on the show page, just head to learnradio.net/Doherty. You'll find the show page there, as I can see. There's lots of stuff up there as well. Thank you so much indeed. Some stuff from Casey's just been published as well. We'll get to all of those questions after our music track. We're buying you a few minutes of time just to put those questions on there. Anything you like about anything these folks have done, I'm sure they'll take a question from you. Up on the show page there, use that that pink circle with the plus key in it, and write your first name in the top box, and then below it your question. And whilst you do that, folks, we've got some great music for you, all inspired by the theme of the book.
You're listening to Maria and Russell. This is the After School Book Club on LearnRadio.net.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Miriam Russell on LearnRadio.net. The time is now 2 minutes to 4 p.m. And today is Wednesday, the 16th of June. And we are joined by the two fabulous couple here. We've got Helen and Thomas Doherty. Oh, Thomas is looking for something.
Yes, he's looking for something.
Thomas is looking for something
to show everyone. Oh, very excited. This is always me. I'm always, all the things I need are out of reach, you see. I need to get long arms like Mr. Tickle. So, we've got some wonderful comments, haven't we, Russell, on the Padlet?
Oh, amazing. You take the first one, Maria.
Thank you very much. So, Helen and Thomas, Lola would like to ask, why is the Snaffle blue? Why did you choose
that? That's a good question, Lola. Thank you for that. I think...
Well, Helen was saying earlier that... we wanted the Snaffle to stand out from the other creatures. And in fact, in a very early version of the book, the other animals in the city weren't animals. They were sort of made up creatures as well. And we decided that the Snaffle, as she was, didn't stand out enough from them. So we also, once they became animals, that was easier. But then we decided that we wanted a colour that was maybe slightly less common. And, and we found a particularly nice blue.
Any blue animals.
We also, if you look very carefully through all the animals in the book, you won't see a single elephant.
No.
Oh. Or a rabbit. Because we didn't want any, if you drew them small, we didn't want them to be confused in any way with the Snaffle. So there are, yes, no elephants, no rabbits, but there are hippos and bears and all sorts of other penguins. So maybe that's why. So that was a very definite decision to make her the only blue, long-eared, trunked creature in the book.
There's a lot more to this drawing, isn't there?
I think in the very first draft, I don't think the line, she's small and she's blue. I don't think the line was in the first draft, actually. Oh. I think that came in a later draft. Trying to remember, but it's always hard to remember. But I think that came a bit later. So maybe it came after a discussion we'd had in which we decided she was going to be blue. I can't remember now. But it seems to make sense that she's blue. And Tom, I don't know whether you could show people the actual pot of Snaffle blue.
Yes, I got it.
He bought a very special bottle of ink, and he's only used this for the Snaffle, not for anything else.
Wow.
I work in lots of different ways for my books, but I work in the computer and by hand, but these pictures I did all by hand, and I found myself a particularly nice bottle of blue ink.
Does it have a name? It's got a name?
Well, I think it's turquoise. But I've relabeled it. You can't really see because of the...
Okay, it's not got some fancy name, like I don't know.
Sadly, not my favourite blue, when I used to paint in watercolour, was phthalo blue.
Indeed.
Or phthalo blue. Lovely, there's beautiful names for the pigments and the colours. But the acrylic inks tend to be called by slightly more common names. This is just turquoise.
No, we're used to
Snaffle. Yeah, but it's Snaffle blue.
With Bob Ross.
It's Snaffle blue now.
Snaffle blue. I think you need to rename that pot right now and sort that out. And you need to apply to Farrow and Ball and have that colour absolutely reserved to it. Simon's been on. Hello, Simon. Good evening to your long-term listeners. Hi, Thomas, my class of Year 6 pupils. Follow the book club each week and they want to know, what do you think about when you're drawing?
That is a really good question, and I probably have to think quite hard to think what I think about what I'm drawing. Most of the time, I think you're concentrating very hard on whatever is coming to life on the paper in front of you. So I don't think your mind tends not to wander, and I like to be quite concentrated when I'm drawing. So in fact, I don't listen to music or have like any TV or anything on. I just like to be concentrating on the work in front of me. And I tend to work in quite short, quite short bursts with a lot of work getting done in a short amount of time. But as Helen was saying earlier, another thing which is always certainly on my mind is when I can stop and put the kettle on and have another biscuit. So there's a lot of stopping and starting that goes into creating the pictures.
I love that. I love that. Maria, you've got another one there.
Thank you very much. So Jasbir says, looks like another amazing story for us to get into, Russell and Maria. I've just asked my literacy lead to get some copies for the school. Thank you very much. That's wonderful. And Victoria would like to know, will you have the story in Croatian? She said it would be fantastic.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing.
That would be lovely, wouldn't it?
It would.
We don't know yet because
So the publisher, Scholastic, they have a fantastic rights team, foreign rights team. and they try to sell the rights to foreign publishers, publishers in other countries, who will hopefully buy the rights and then publish it in their own language. So hence we've got the copies here already in Dutch, Italian, Greek and Finnish, and more on the way, as I said. I don't know about Croatian. I wish I could say yes. We'll have to wait and see, I think, is the answer.
Wow. Wouldn't that be lovely to have all it the Screen Thief in all the different languages around, really, around the world?
It'd be brilliant. Yeah.
Well, there's a customer there already. There's one customer already. So if you're in Croatia, folks, and you're a publisher, get in contact because we've got one order pending for you as well. Casey's been on. A snaffle is a new creature, not even David Attenborough has heard of yet. Love the illustrations. Casey, thank you so much. And she goes on to say, did things change much as you put the story together, or was it all planned out and stayed the same from the start? Who wants to
talk about the illustrations?
Let's go with Helen
it's
first.
An excellent question.
Yes, Helen first.
So all of my stories go through a process of editing, and they go through several drafts. So yeah, absolutely they change. Nothing is ever exactly the same as it was in the original first draft. Just trying to remember what bits maybe changed. I remember that. I think in one early draft, when the angry crowd who'd lost all their screens caught up with the snaffle, I think she might even have been arrested by the police. And then we decided that was just a bit too much, really. It might be a bit scary. So we turned it back, and we just had the crowd saying, quick, catch her. No, chase her away, before Max intervenes.
Good.
And protests on her behalf. So that was one change.
Good.
As I said, when I was originally thinking of the creature, I had in mind a slightly different creature. I think in the very first instance, I was imagining a creature that was perhaps even from another world, or perhaps a creature that was made from discarded technology, perhaps bits of technology that had been thrown on the rubbish heap, and somehow it come together and come alive, a sort of slightly sci-fi version. But then talking about it with Tom, we decided it'd be so much better just to make her a new creature. But a warm-blooded creature, a creature, an animal like any other, but something completely unique and new. So that is one change that definitely happened. But other than that, I think the storyline came to me fairly complete. Obviously, it took development and there were changes in the text. But I think it was one of those stories, a bit like the Snatcher book, that it did come to me as a whole story, which is a joy when I get an idea like that, because then all I have to do is write it. And of course, there are problems to solve along the way, and writing in rhyme is a real challenge.
Mm.
But it's great when you know where your narrative is going, when you know the basic plot points and you know what's going to happen.
Wow.
Which I did from very early on.
Brilliant. Thomas, what changed on the drawings front?
Oh, well, an awful lot changed. Can I try and share my screen?
Oh, yes, please. Yes, let's have a go with that.
Because... Let's see. On a window. This one.
Yeah, do get the right one, won't you? Yep, that's fine. Oh,
can you
really
see?
Good. Yes, I'm going to add this in as well. So there we are.
Right,
oh, wow.
Wow.
So this was the very first, the first picture of the city, and you'll notice that it is not like the city in the book.
No.
It's a futuristic city with... crazy buildings and bubble cars and a flying sort of
very Jetsons.
Oh, cool.
In the end, the publishers decided that they would prefer it to be more relatable and set in a modern day city, and I think they were probably right.
I think so too.
But I had, you can see that the fun I had creating the futuristic city.
Wow!
Could you use that for another book? Do you think?
No ideas go to waste.
Yeah.
Here's a very good example of the very first page.
Yeah.
And you see, I often have lots and lots of different ideas. So we have this, at the top left, we have the snaffle arriving in a railway station.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Then the top right, we have her coming out of a subway into a busy street. And then we have the one at the bottom left, which is the one which actually made it into the book, which is looking at the main square, or a square in the city. And the reason that we chose this one is that I wanted to show most of the places where the action happens in the book. So we've got Max and where he lives. We've got the cinema. We've also got the library.
Yeah.
And across the road, across the level crossing, you can also see the park. So that's a really good example of how, you know, things develop. Here are some outtakes and things that didn't get included. So we've got some bears, the bear and the cat on the running machine. This is the snaffle eating, you know, the screen in the gym. I'm trying to imagining like the sort of houses that the creature, the animals might live in. So these there just wasn't room to put everything in.
No. So, it could have been an even bigger book, couldn't it?
It could have been a bigger book. And then here are some pictures of different snaffles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so amazing, you can see, to share.
When you pick up a book off a shelf, it looks like it's all just happened spontaneously. Just, but actually, there are hundreds and hundreds of sketches and planning and discussions, and things get chucked out. And and who knows? Like I said, nothing is ever wasted.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll go back to old ideas that didn't make one project, and they'll serve
what's
for
the,
another
what's
one.
What's the time span for this, Thomas, over this? What's the time period all this took place
in? You know, I'm probably doing the roughs over at least 6 months. That's when I'm working every day. On it for 6 months, but you know, you do some ideas, you send them off, you know, you carry on working with something else, the publishers get back to you, have a discussion. It's very, very long, slow process, but like I said, you're not working on it every single day. It's
just, and there's so much that doesn't actually get into the final book, as Tom says. There's so much behind the scenes work.
Good. There we are. He's good, isn't he? He's quick.
I'd forgotten that. I think maybe one of the inspirations was some of the characters in Tove Jansson's Moomin books, which are books that we both adore. And just looking back at those original sketches for the character, I think one of them does look almost like a Moomin character, doesn't she?
Yes.
Or like a character that could appear in one of those books. The one on the middle right there.
Yes, definitely.
Just something a little bit Tove Jansson there. And perhaps that was an influence on you as well, Tom?
Yes, very possibly. It's the Moomin books and their illustrations are some of my favourites. And I think everything that you look at, everything you read, everything you see outside in the street, like the cactus shop that we walk past, it all goes in.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always got a notebook with me.
Good man.
I often have, it's a bit battered now and worn.
Look at that.
And I just keep bits of recycled blank paper in it. And if I see anything interesting or, you know, it catches my eye, I'll often like write it down. Sometimes I write words.
Wow.
Sometimes I scribble pictures. It depends. And that just, you know, I keep it all here.
Mm.
And so, you know, I try not to lose things, because there's incredible stuff happening everywhere, all around us. All you need to do is, you know, keep your eyes and your ears open. And you don't have to go anywhere exotic or far to find inspiration. You can, you know, in your own house, school's an amazing place, the local park. Wherever you are, there's, you know, stories that are happening all around us.
It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Maria, there's another question on there.
Thank you very much, Russell. So we've got Lola's Mummy. Lola's Mummy says, do you have any plans to bring out another Snaffle book? Is there a Snaffle 2?
We would love that, Lola. I mean, I guess that's up to the publisher, really. We'd have to wait and see whether they wanted a sequel. That would be lots of fun. I wonder what the Snaffle would do in the next story.
I wonder what the Snaffle would do next.
I wonder if Snaffle's responsible for stealing the socks out of my washing machine. That's what I wonder about. Yes. And it's so nice to hear, as a teacher myself, it's so nice to hear you giving advice to us, because, you know, sometimes when we're writing stories, we think that the stories have to be perfect from start to finish, but there's a lot of evolution on there. There's a lot of, you know, chopping and changing. You know, start a character, change it, and especially with the drawings as well. That whole panel of the different types of Snaffle was absolutely gorgeous, Russell, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Now, Lola's got a question on here. Why did you name her Snaffle?
Oh, that's a great question. So, actually, I had lots of ideas for names initially. I wanted a name that had those two syllables to fit with the rhyme, but it didn't have to rhyme with any other words, so I had a lot of freedom to choose. First of all, I was thinking about the idea of a playful creature, a creature that's quite curious and playful. I was thinking of the Ludix, because of the Ludo meaning to play. And so that was one idea. I had to come up with something original, something different, but didn't seem quite right. And then I can't remember, just the word snaffle came to me one day. And of course, to snaffle something means to steal it, but in quite a sort of innocent way, like we talked earlier about snaffling biscuits. It doesn't seem too menacing or no. too dark. It's quite a light word, quite a fun word. And I think it just felt right for a creature that's a bit mischievous, curious, playful, wants to have fun. And a bit like any young child or a puppy, I guess. They just want fun. They want something to happen. Mm.
I like it as a word.
It's just a nice word as well.
It's a beautiful word. It's not a word that we use all the time. No. So a bit like the snaffle, you know, there's a sort of element of curiosity about it as well. And maybe some children, younger children, will want to know what it means. And I think that's a wonderful thing in a picture book if you have things that are explained through the story or, you know, a question can come up that you can, you know, interact with the person who's telling you the story and you know, find answers.
And have you stuck with the word snaffle in all of those translations, Helen? Is the word snaffle still the same?
Obviously it would be different in every language. So our Italian translator is a wonderful lady called Marinella Barigazzi. And she's translated all of our books into Italian over the years. And we've got to know her just through that connection, really. So we actually have a lovely correspondence with her. She's amazing. And she has called the Italian snaffle La Scrafola, I think. Scrafola. I think that's right, Scrafola. I love that because it has quite a similar sound to it, but it also sounds very Italian.
Brilliant. How'd you finish? What did you go for the... How'd you finish?
We don't know.
Okay, you've got 10 seconds. 10 seconds. I'm putting a clock on that. 10 seconds.
It's not quite up to the job. I love it. I'm sorry.
Well, so we've learned from that. You have changed the name. You haven't used the word snaffle as in snaffle and just written the word in that language.
You've changed the name. Well, I haven't, but the translator has,
Wow.
And they have to, because it has to be a word that you can say in that language.
Okay.
So I'd be really curious to see in Spanish, because of course, Maria, we speak Spanish as well, as do you, and I can't wait to see. In fact, though, I think I know. Yeah, I don't know whether we're even allowed to say this yet, but...
Oh, but Maria could have a guess. Go on, Maria, have a guess, and then it's not really said.
Yeah, go on, have a guess, Maria, we can tell you.
Oh, you're on mute.
You're on mute.
I love saying that.
Oh,
you're
the
on mute.
Famous words.
I know you're on
words.
Mute. Go on.
Because I speak a few dialects. I speak Gallego as well. So okay. I don't know. Give me the first letter.
Zeta.
Oh, Zeta. Zapa something. Zapa.
Zampapantayas.
Zampapantayas, that's an easy word to say, isn't it?
that's apparently what the title of the book is going to be in Spanish. Wow. I think that's only what we've
heard it here
from
first, folks. It's an exclusive on Learn Radio. Terms and conditions apply. Not culpable. I've got the director on the phone. No, we can't mention that. Too late.
I think it's coming out in September instead.
Wow,
so,
that's amazing. Yeah, I love it that it's being translated to all the books as well. Thank you so much. Now, Thomas, you kind of talked about you working in both digital and traditional. How did you do the book? Did you use traditional or did you use digital for the book?
I used traditional illustration. In fact, I've actually brought a few of the pictures along with me. You can't see them very well when I hold them up, but you can see that, you know, they're on real large bits of paper.
Okay.
That is what's called the end papers. So inside the jacket of the book.
Yes.
A sort of setting the scene image.
And that's done. That's lovely.
Black and white.
Very clever, both of you. Thank you.
And since we've talked about the first page, this is the last page.
That's the last page,
So at night time, when the staff is just having a little snack.
Wow. Up on the...
So that gives you an idea of the size of the picture that he's creating.
Mm. I draw them out in acrylic ink and paint them with inks and watercolours.
Snaffle blue.
So there we go.
Nicely done. Wow, thank you.
The original bits of artwork.
Great,
and
Maria.
And it takes you about a week to do each one, doesn't it?
It takes about 3 to 5 days, I guess, to paint a double page spread.
There's just so much detail in each picture, and you have to go quite slowly because you can't make a mistake. Otherwise, you'd have to start all over again.
The whole thing again.
So if you make a little mistake, it's all right. You can correct it in
and
in
did you make afterwards. Any mistakes, Thomas?
Of course, all the time. There's nothing wrong with the odd
should
mistakes.
We look for something? Is there creative. Is there a little something yet we should be looking
I
for?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Okay, maybe we'll come back to that later.
Let
us know, folks, if you spot an error et or a potential error et. That would just be lovely. Marie, you've got the next question there.
Thank you very much. Now, I was wondering if Thomas could draw a snaffle. I've got my pad here. Do you think we might be able to draw a snaffle?
Yes, let's give it a go. So I'm going to flip this over and start a new page. And if anyone else wants to draw along at home, if you've got a pen and a bit of paper,
lovely,
or a pencil, you can draw with anything you like. And I will do my best to sort of explain what I'm doing as I go along. Now, I would start with two circles. We're going to draw the Snaffle's eyes first. So two little ovals. And I'm going to have the pupils pointing sort of down and maybe a little bit in. And then we're going to start drawing the Snaffle's trunk, and it's going to come up here because she needs to get her trunk out of the way so that she can actually eat things. So it curves up like that. So that's the top of the trunk. And if you start just below the eyes, that could be the rest of the trunk. And the top of the trunk has got a little sort of round bit on the end. That's where it's later in the book she sort of uses to sniff the screens. And they're going to put the start of her mouth in, and I'm just, because she's going to have her mouth open for the moment, I'm just going to do it that shape. Okay, a little sort of smile almost. Now the Snaffle has these lovely eyelashes, so you could put those in just with some curved lines. And then I think what we need is to put in her ears. So starting just above her eyelash, you could have one little rabbity ear coming out the back, and starting above the other eyelash, another one, and it can sort of flop behind it or in front of it, it doesn't really matter, just two lovely floppy ears. Now I'm going to start drawing what she's eating, and it's going to be a mobile phone, which is going to go here. So I'm going to start drawing a sort of square shape, slightly in perspective. What I love about her when she's eating the mobile phones is it's almost like she's eating a large bar of chocolate or a very thin wafer biscuit. So that's going to be the screen.
Love it.
And here, because she's munched it, we can
jagged
have sort of
line.
Cracked, jagged tooth marks
classic.
In it.
Anything on the screen? Might we have something on the screen? Would you think
well,
about that
usually
now?
Usually when you could colour the screen in dark because
okay.
mobile screens, once they're off, they usually
okay.
sort of black.
Okay.
I put three little claws in, her little paws, because she's grabbing it like this between her hands, and three more here. One, two, three, one, two, three. And these are attached here to the arm, which is just doing that because she's holding it like this. I then think about putting the rest of her head in, which is, it's just a simple sort of curve, almost quite circular shape there. And you put the back of the mouth in as well. And you could put the other arm coming in around the corner. And then we need to put in her body. So that is just a simple straight line down the side. And then she's a little bit fluffy, a little bit furry. You're going to have slightly furry bits at the bottom, and then you can put in her... I might see if I can get a pen which works a bit better. Oh, there we go. And her legs, again, they're curvy, a bit like her arms, and they can have just little claws on the end. If I look quite carefully, I think maybe I've made my Snaffle quite a bit wider than she was meant to be. Well, that's all right, because she's eaten lot of screens
there. Oh, that's so good.
And to finish off my Snaffle,
yeah,
you could put a tongue in if you wanted.
Oh.
I've got a pot of Snaffle glue here, so I might just very quickly, of course, if you're going to do your Snaffle, you could do your Snaffle any colour you liked. I mean, maybe your Snaffle is a different type of Snaffle. you could think about adding in, you know, other details to your snaffle.
Wow, like a spotted, the lesser spotted snaffle.
Exactly. Wow. Maybe your snaffle has got, I mean, where does the snaffle come from? Does the snaffle have a family?
Well, that's one of the questions. We've got a question on the panel. Someone has asked that question. Has the snaffle got... Maria, so you've been drawing that along. Can you share your... Let me just have a look at you. What have you? Show us what you've got.
It's not as wonderful, but I've tried my best. So that's my little snaffle.
Let me see. Oh, it's beautiful.
I was ready with the snaffle blue as well. But that, I got a little bit, got a bit excited with the ears. So I had to go
That's fantastic.
That's so expressive as well.
I love the idea of having a family. You know, they could have a little family at Christmas time or a celebration. They could go to the beach, all the snaffles together in the different colours.
It is.
I
love
it. I mean, I think, you know, it's the book starts by saying, you know, the snaffle arrived in the city one day, and I immediately think, well, where did it arrive from?
Where did she come from?
And I think, you know, you could write a whole story just about
backstory, you know, to the snaffle,
where the snaffle came from and why. And,
or pre-story, that's another technique that lots of young people get, the story that came before this. Yeah. So you write a prequel to that as well. And Victoria's on the Paddler asking, does snaffle have a family or brothers? Good question.
Maybe she does. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe they've all gone to different places. I don't know. Maybe they've... I think the snaffle's kind of at an age where she's ready to go out and explore the world on her own. So a little bit like, I suppose, our daughter, our youngest daughter, who's in year six now, and she's going off to do comp in September, secondary school in September. So she's just starting to go out with her friends and, you know, having that little bit more freedom. So maybe the snaffle's kind of a bit like that. She's just at that point where she can go out, start exploring the world, finding out what it's like, making new friends, looking for people to play with. So yeah, and as for whether she has brothers, well, maybe she does. I don't know. If she did, what would their names be? I wonder.
Wow.
This is like watching Bob Ross, I have to say.
It's better than watching Bob Ross, because he hasn't said any of those other fabulous... He hasn't got a snaffle blue, for starters. He never he never had snaffle blue. That's stunning. Thomas, you're a real genius.
There we go, a very quick snaffle.
More than that. That is years of training. It's stunning. Brilliant. Absolutely stunning. Well, where's the time gone? I can't believe that. A little bit of reading, a little bit of drawing. Wow, amazing. I guess script. Who needs a script, folks? We're all over the place. I love it. Thank you so much indeed. The drawing was absolutely fantastic. We've got some extension activities, folks, that we'd like to suggest to you just before we close the show. We think it's very interesting. But just before we do that, there's some competitions running this week, Maria, haven't we? We've got some great ones up on the Padlet. I have approved them. So, folks, it's on the main Padlet, on the shout-out Padlet there. Competition one, just whiz us through that, Maria, if you can.
Competition one, to win an original painting of Nen by James Mayhew. We would like you to design a necklace for Nen the Merman. So think about what special qualities they have. And the closing date is this Friday at midnight, the 18th of June. And entries should be emailed to learnradiolive@gmail.com. Here's our second competition, Russell.
Absolutely. To win an original cardboard creation of a turtle by Daryl Wakelam. He is the king of cardboard, folks. We'd like you to create your own ocean creature out of cardboard. Take a photograph of it. Email it to us. If you need an adult to do that, that's absolutely fine. learnradiolive@gmail.com. And competition three, Maria.
Well, this is to win a signed copy of The King's Birthday Suit by Peter Bentley. We would like you to give the King's Cat a name from the book. And closing entries, again, on the 18th of June at midnight. Entries email to learnradiolive@gmail.com. What a lovely, fabulous giveaway we have.
Excellent. Amazing. And entries are good.
Good luck, everybody.
It is good. We've got, thank you very much. So Starkers in the lead, I think, at the moment. Name for the, because of course the end of the stories gives it away. Gucci is another one there. And Coattails, that was another good favourite of ours. So keep them coming, I have to say. Folks, if you want some extension activity from today's writing challenges, investigation, if you are into investigating, why don't you find out how many ball games you could play with Max in the park and your friends? Why don't you do some investigation? What if you want to invent something, Maria?
Well, you could invent some new games that you could play in the park. What things might you need to take with you to enable the playing of these new games? What about communication, Russell?
Well, you could write a newspaper headline for a report on the story of the Snaffle. Think about something with great punch there, great headlines. Look at some of the red top newspapers that you might see around the place. That kind of punchy title, that's what we're looking for, something fabulous. Yeah. What about if you're into collaborating, Maria?
Oh, well, you could work with some friends to write the script for the trailer of the film, The Screen Thief, and think about using powerful language and expression. But what if creativity is your thing, Russell?
Hey, why don't you imagine that the Snaffle came to Earth in a spaceship and you could design that spaceship? Don't forget, it won't have any screens in it.
Nope.
And after you've read the book, you'll understand why that's the case. What about philosophy and thinking challenges, Maria?
Oh, this is wonderful. We could think about how someone might feel if they have to steal food when they're hungry. Are there ever exceptions that make this okay? Some fabulous extension of writing prompts there, Russell.
Oh, great. We absolutely love that so much. To do with this. This is the book that just keeps on giving, folks. There's so much. You thought you'd created a picture book. Well, there's so much more here. Maria could get a whole term's worth of work out of that. And that colleagues could as well. Just, you know, just thank you.
I've got a quick question.
Yes.
Can you spot a famous painting hidden somewhere in the city?
There's
That's
a challenge for this week.
Yeah.
Find it. Well, you'll need a copy of the book, folks, and you can
you
order
will.
Online.
You'll have to have a copy of the book.
Two cover mm-hmm. is available. Mm-hmm. Click through there. We like to support independent bookshops, and that's one of our guests' favourite there, up on the website as well. And there's just time to tell you about our guest next week. Who have we got, Maria?
Oh, we've got the fabulous Sophie Henn, who's releasing Pizzazz Book 3. They are absolutely wonderful, Russell. It is going to be a great show.
It's going to be good. It probably won't be as good as this. Sophie never listens to other shows anyway. So, I mean, well, we shan't even bother. We're just, why don't we just send her a tape recorder and she can pop it on herself? Anyway, it'd be really good. This was fantastic, folks. You have given us such a treat. We are absolutely delighted with what you've given
welcome.
Us. Thank you so much, Eddie.
Folks, been a real pleasure.
Oh, bless you, both of you. Folks, thank you so
us.
Much.
Yeah,
you're very
you.
Welcome. Very, very welcome. If you've enjoyed the show, there's a donation button at the bottom of the page. We'd love to get. This is the moment we pass our cap around the audience to see what we can get out there. Thank you so much indeed. If you can give, please give generously. And every penny goes to the running of the show. It's important to keep it free at the point of view. So we think that's really important. Thank you to our guests, Thomas and Helen Doherty. Thank you so much indeed. You're absolutely fantastic.
Thank you for having us.
Some more
thank
applause
you.
For you both. You're just absolutely fantastic. Really, really good. And we hope
thank
to
you everyone for all the great questions as well.
Pleasure. I think we've rallied through them all. Just had a quick look. Oh, there's one last comment from Casey. It says, that Spanish word will fill the cover, Casey says on the page. You're probably right. Other languages are available, of course. Thank you so much indeed to both our guests as well. We are back tomorrow night for our Educator CPD show at 8 o'clock. Do join us for our Seeds of Creativity. We've got another return guest. All the details on the page as well. Everything you need from this show and the Listen Again and the YouTube video will be available later this evening. Just go to learnradio.net/Doherty. Everything will be there. Until next time, it's goodbye from my guests, but it's goodbye from her.
And it's goodbye from him.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.